You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, March 4th. Joining me by phone this morning, Linda Hartke. She's president and CEO of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Andy. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, thank you. Always a delight to talk with you. How are things? Are you in Baltimore this morning?
I am. Looking out over a little bit of a dusting of snow.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that we could send it your way.
We had
our fair share recently, and glad to send it your way. No, I hope you're doing well. I always enjoy hearing what's going on with Lutheran and Immigration Refugee Service. We haven't talked in a while, and a lot certainly, I'm sure, has happened since then. Certainly a lot going on in our country, a lot going on around the world. Before we get into the current happenings, let's back up and talk a little bit about the history of LIRS.
Sure. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, now 76 years old, was founded as the church's response to a refugee crisis in Europe, and the need Lutherans in the U.S. saw to extend hospitality and protection to Lutherans fleeing the cataclysm of World War II. So that was the initial impetus for our founding. LIRS and churches all across the country have, of course, been about this work of welcome in much more expansive ways, welcoming refugees from Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Bosnia, from Somalia, from the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Lost Boys and Lost Girls of Sudan, and more recently from Burma, Bhutan, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Syria.
So how, over those 76 years, how has LIRS met those needs, and how has your work as LIRS changed over those years?
Well, we've met it first, I have to say, with God's blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the face of staggering violence, conflict, and need, there is a response here in the United States from communities, from congregations, from individuals who want to make a difference, who want to help refugees have a chance, just a chance, to build a new life for themselves in a place of safety. Through Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, now 500,000 refugees have been welcomed to the United States. This year, we expect to receive about 12,000 refugees. Lutherans through LIRS resettle the second largest number of refugees in the United States. Only the Catholic Bishops Conference and their network of Catholic charities resettle and receive more refugees than we do. So it happens truly with a generosity of spirit from people in local communities who feel this is God's call to love and serve their neighbor. You're right, the work has changed. I mean, quite honestly, it changes each time we welcome refugees from a different part of the world, mm-hmm. who come both with a different cultural experience, but also a different experience of war and violence. I mean, the experience, even contemporarily, of Syrian refugees who've had their villages entirely obliterated by bombs and who have fled several times is very different from the experience of a Bhutanese refugee who may well have spent 15 or 18 years already in a refugee camp with the hope of going home, but finally deciding that the best thing for their family would be to try to start all over again in yet a third country. So the work changes with each new group of refugees we welcome. The work changes certainly as migration patterns within the U.S. change. I mean, over the last, you know, decade or so, for example, we've seen an amazing growth in the Detroit area of a Middle Eastern mm-hmm. community. And so that then becomes a place that relatives of Iraqi refugees who themselves are refugees then want to be resettled. And of course, the other change is the demographics of this country and the pattern of employment opportunities. Refugees, as with many Americans, simply want to be able to work hard and to provide for their family. And so it's always important, as we resettle refugees, important from our perspective and from the refugees' perspective, for them to be resettled somewhere where they can find that first entry-level job.
Glenda, why is caring for refugees, reaching out and caring for refugees important to Lutherans? What is it that, how do Lutherans approach it differently than others might? What is it, what is unique about our approach to caring for refugees?
I think there are a couple of things. First, I think we certainly share with other Christians who resettle refugees an understanding that this is not only motivated by a desire to do good or to be kind, but that it is truly part of our Christian calling. To love the neighbors that God gives to us, to welcome the stranger, mm-hmm. to take that risk personally and in a community of faith, to receive and love someone we don't even know. As Lutherans, I think our deep and abiding commitment, and certainly how we're known for this work, is as an incredibly generous and kind community here in the U.S. that exhibits God's love for neighbor without discrimination. I mean, it is decades later, it is possible to hear from refugees their story of when you ask them how they came to the U.S. and who welcomed them, they don't say LIRS, and they usually don't say Lutheran Social Services of mm-hmm. Michigan or Georgia or anywhere else. They say Lutheran. And their knowledge of who welcomed them and embraced them in this country is Lutheran. And I think that's a great brand for us to have. It's a real blessing to the churches that we are known. We are known for not only being at the airport with signs with a refugee's name on it to offer that first welcome in a strange land, but we're there with them as they integrate into the community, as they come to know our congregations and our faith, as they get their first job, as children are baptized and graduate from high school and college, when they buy their first car or even their first home. I mean, we are also known as Lutherans for being there through the long welcome to refugees who come to this country.
Lately, there's most recently quite a bit of talk about immigration in the news, which makes LIRS's work extremely relevant. What are some of the focus areas that LIRS is working on right now, especially when it comes to refugees from Syria or Central America?
Right. I mean, for us at this moment, even though there's been some real pushback from some political leaders and in some communities, one of our local resettlement offices, the neighborhood surrounding it even was leafleted by the KKK with horrible attacks and things, untruths stated about their work and about refugees. All of this creates, I believe, an opportunity for a different conversation, not in the media, not on you know, sort of on a debate platform, mm-hmm. not with people trying to score points one against another between candidates or political parties, but rather to have a conversation to hear about people's fears and concerns, and as well to share the facts and the truth. So this has been a period for LIRS and for our partner organizations for many, many community-based dialogues. Again, where absent the sort of polarizing political talk, people can talk in a safe place about their concerns, but also have access to direct, truthful, factual information about the refugees that are coming to this country. I mean, among the things, of course, that have been bantied about by some is that the U.S. refugee program creates an enormous security risk to citizens and communities in the United States. But the reality is, of the probably more than 20 or 30 different ways a person who is a citizen of another country can enter the United States legally, the refugee program is the one that has the highest and most extraordinary level of scrutiny across a variety of enforcement and intelligence agencies to ensure that certainly that refugees are the people they say they are, that the experience they've had means they qualify under international law as a refugee, and also that they present no risk to the United States. So, I mean, and I could go on and on. I mean, it's like a 21-step process that refugees go through in terms of screening before they're resettled in the U.S. And it's a, you know, again, these are very small numbers, really. I mean, the globally at the moment, there are about 16 million refugees. The United States will probably resettle close to 85,000 this year. That's quite a small number when you think about the both the size and scope of the global crisis and the size and scope of this country, and our ability to receive and integrate newcomers. And I should say, among those 85,000 that will be resettled, the goal for this year is to resettle 10,000 Syrians. So again, it's still even smaller numbers when it comes to Syrian refugees. And the scrutiny is quite intensive. And it's not a quick decision. I mean, at first, it's not a quick decision for a refugee to decide that they're going to give up hope about going home, which is what most of them want to do, and to apply for resettlement. But then it's a long process. Usually it's 18 to 24 months of interviews and screening and consideration that a refugee goes through before the possibility of their resettlement in the U.S. or in another country.
With just a little over a minute left, I would like to talk a little bit about Refugee Sunday that happens each year and how congregations can be a part of this.
Well, thank you for that invitation. We encourage congregations across the church to choose a Sunday that works in their calendar to consider the situation of refugees, to celebrate the contribution that they make to this country. Some congregations are inviting back refugees that they've resettled many years ago, celebrate with food from different countries, include prayers for refugees during their service. We have resources on our website at lirs.org/refugeesunday. And that is continually being added to. Probably by late March, we'll have an additional new video for this year posted as well for congregations to use. And we're happy to help support congregations, especially if they would like to bring in a refugee speaker as they observe this day. And they can contact us at outreach@lirs.org.
Outreach@lirs.org. Thanks so much, Linda, for being our guest today. Linda Hartke, President and CEO of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. God's peace. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.